Since the dawn of time, mankind has embarked on an endless quest for knowledge. Now, the time has come for players to put their intellect to the test in the ultimate mental arena where only the most cerebral among us will emerge victorious. This is Literal Genius.
Hey everyone, it's Literal Genius. I am your quizmaster, John Norton. It's week two of the month and I'm back here with Scott and Joni. And, okay, look, Scott, I know you have a bruised ego right now, but you have an opportunity, not just this week, but for the next couple episodes. It doesn't matter that you may have stumbled on the first episode at all. You can turn this franchise around starting right now. How are you feeling?
I'm a Raiders fan. I've been rooting for lovable losers for a long time, so let's turn it around.
And Joni, you got to be riding high after that last episode.
You know, I've known that I was better than Scott for a long time, and it's just nice to have it codified.
Whole new topic. You never know what you walk into on this show. The audience knows,
Very
and that's
true.
The fun of it. I think that's what we call dramatic irony in the biz. They know what we're dealing with. You guys don't know, but it's also like a time travel thing happened. I don't know. It's too crazy for me. We're going to move on to round one, our general knowledge topic. Three categories for you guys to choose from that in some way will give you a bit of a hint as to what we're going to be tackling this week. Joni, you are in the hot seat this week, which means you get to choose from our three categories, and they are Hollywood Knights, Reimagined Roles, and Famous Scotsman. Now, Joni, I will tell you, Hollywood Knights, Knights is spelled with a K, if that matters to you.
It does, but I love the Scottish, so let's do Scotsman.
The woman loves the Scots. You guys know how this goes. Six questions, 1 point for a correct answer, 1 point for a steal, and we'll kick this off, Joni, with you. Question number one. This scientist, inventor, and engineer, who was born March 3rd, 1847 in Edinburgh, is credited with not only inventing the first functional telephone, but co-founding one of America's first major telephone companies, AT&T.
That's Edison.
That is actually not Edison.
Oh, shoot, really?
Scott, early chance to steal.
What year was he born?
1847.
Is that Alexander Graham Bell?
Oh,
yes, Bollocks, it is. All right, Scott with an early steal, and you get question number two.
Like, oh, darn, that was dumb.
Scott, this film and television actor who received mainstream attention after his casting as a young Charles Xavier in X-Men First Class got his start at the Pace Theatre in Paisley, Scotland, and still works frequently in London's West End.
Jude Law.
I love how confident everyone is on their incorrect first answers. This is wonderful. I'm enjoying this. Joni, chance to steal. Get your point back.
Okay, I'll even it up. That's James McAvoy.
Yes,
it is James McAvoy. As soon as I said it.
Both of us, we're on even keel today.
All right. 1-1. Joni, question number three goes to you. This man whose titular hall in New York City is a mecca for artists everywhere was born in Dunfermline, Scotland, and after immigrating to America, revolutionized the steel industry, investing in countless railroads, bridges, and other construction projects.
Carnegie.
Yeah, that's all I need. Andrew Carnegie is correct. Joni up 2-1. Scott, question number four. This Scottish knight, born in 1270, played a crucial role in the First War of Scottish Independence and was later played by Mel Gibson in the film Braveheart.
I was going to say it's Mel Gibson in Braveheart, but Joni's going to steal this.
Mm-hmm. I am.
It's not Macduff. That's, I don't know.
All right, go ahead, Joni.
William Wallace.
There we go. William Wallace is correct. Joni increasing her lead up 3-1. And question five goes to you. This four-time Grammy winner was born in Aberdeen. And after the previous group they were in broke up, went on to form the Eurythmics with Dave Stewart in 1981, delivering such hits as Sweet Dreams and Miracle of Love.
I have not the foggiest idea. I'm not good on my pop music, unfortunately.
All right, it's not a Titanic question, so.
It's not,
Scott, chance to steal.
Stevie Nicks?
No, I'm sorry. It is Annie Lennox. Lennox, who we're going for. Born in Aberdeen, Scotland. Here we go. All right, Scott, though, you can close us out here. Question number six. The only tennis player to have won two Olympic gold medals in singles competition, this man and Glasgow native is appropriately nicknamed the Great Scott.
Is it Andy Roddick?
Sorry, no. It's not Andy Roddick. Joni.
I'm not sure on that one either.
Well, Scott, you were halfway there. It's not Andy Roddick. It is Andy Murray. Andy Murray, the great Scott. All right, so at the end of our first category, Joni leading 3-1. Again, off to an early lead, but easily you can close the margin here. Scott, and you have control over selecting our next category. You can choose from Reimagined Roles and Hollywood Nights.
Reimagined Roles.
Reimagined Roles. I think it's pretty self-explanatory. These are questions about roles and actors who are not the first to play a certain role. Question number one goes to you, Scott. This hero star lived long and prospered, playing a younger version of this famous Vulcan in J.J. Abrams' 2009 reboot of Star Trek.
Chris Pine?
Oh. I'm sorry, not Chris Pine. Joni.
Zachary Quinto, the other one.
Zachary Quinto as Spock. Very, very good. Joni up 4-1. And Joni, question number two. Tim Burton made headlines when he announced Johnny Depp would be stepping into Gene Wilder's shoes playing this role, one many have argued should never have been attempted by anyone else.
Willy Wonka.
Of course. All right, Joni up now 5-1. Scott, just pulling ahead a little bit. You got to come back here. Question number three. It's debatable whether or not this man flat out replaced Mel Gibson as Mad Max in 2015's Fury Road or just simply filled the role in a reimagined version of director George Miller's world. Either way, very few would argue that he pulled it off handsomely.
Well, he did do it handsomely, but I'm blanking on his name. I just can see his face. It's not Jake Gyllenhaal. It's someone else. Shoot. I don't know.
All right, well, he is dreamy, but I can't accept that as an answer. Joni, can you steal this one?
Is that Channing Tatum?
I wish every role was Channing Tatum, really. But unfortunately, this one's actually Tom Hardy. Tom Hardy.
Tom Hardy, yep.
Right.
Yep, yep.
All right, Joni, question number four. Arguably the most famous mafia boss in cinematic history, Marlon Brando portrayed the Godfather himself in the titular 1972 film. But Robert De Niro took the reins in part two, playing a younger version of the character when he first arrives in America.
Sorry, can you repeat the question?
Of course I can. Arguably the most famous mafia boss in cinematic history, Marlon Brando portrayed the Godfather himself in the titular 1972 film. But Robert De Niro took the reins in part two, playing a younger version of this character when he first arrives in America.
I'm not sure.
Question could also just be worded, what's the Godfather's actual name?
Oh, okay.
That helps.
I actually don't know that one either. It's one of my great failings. I haven't seen the Godfather, but Scott knows it. I can see he does.
All right, one question, two ways. Both wrong. Scott, can you steal it?
That would be Don Corleone.
Oh, that's right.
Don Vito. Yes, yes, yes.
Don Vito Corleone. Yeah.
All right. Scott up now with 2 points. And question number five goes to you. A great many men have had the honor of calling themselves Bond, James Bond, including Sean Connery, Roger Moore, Pierce Brosnan, and Daniel Craig. Two other gentlemen have also donned the tuxedo and gotten behind the wheel of Bond's famed Aston Martin. Scott, name either of them.
Oh, can you name the four that you listed off? Brosnan.
Sean Connery, Roger Moore, Pierce Brosnan, Daniel Craig. Missing two from that list.
Yeah. Boy, those are the four that I would know. I'm going to have to pass on this one.
All right, Joni, you can extend the lead a little bit further.
I'm not up on my Bond films either, but I'm hoping at some point to see Idris Elba. So we'll toss Idris Elba in there, even though it's wrong.
So it was actually Channing Tatum. No, I'm kidding. Of course, Timothy Dalton, who had the reins before Pierce Brosnan, and then George Lazenby, who only had it for one film. One film. George Lazenby played James Bond. But big diehard Bond friend of mine, he says he's his favorite. So there you go. All right, Joni, finish us off here. Question number six. David Fincher's 2011 adaptation of The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo was a critical and commercial success. However, Rooney Mara was not the first to play this titular role on the big screen. That honor goes to this actress who not only embodied Lisbeth Salander in the 2009 version, but did so in her native tongue of Swedish.
Wasn't that Vikander? Lisa Vikander?
No, it was not. That's incorrect. Scott, chance to steal.
You said her native language was Swedish?
Yes, I did.
I think you got me on this one. Yeah, I don't know.
All right, that's a very talented actress by the name of Noomi Rapace. Noomi Rapace, the original girl with the dragon tattoo. All right, so after round one, quiet lead here, but Joni's still solid 5 points to Scott's two. We've been here before, but we haven't been here before because we got a brand new mystery topic of the week. Here it is.
The fight is done. We lost. Stay hidden. The key to hunting Jedi is patience.
The Sith have gotten their revenge, and we're not quite at A New Hope just yet. So until we get there, it's time to check in with everyone's favorite now middle-aged Jedi Knight in the new Disney Plus series, Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Oh, yeah.
So we've got 8 Star Wars-related questions, since you guys are excited about this, so we'll see how this goes. Round 2, as always, questions get a little bit harder. Your modifiers have been reactivated. You know what they are. You know how to use them. So we'll get right into it. Question number 1, Joni, we'll start with you. While many Star Wars fans still debate whether or not this location is truly canonical, which Daily Show host inspired George Lucas to name Obi-Wan's homeworld after him?
What was the show?
The Daily Show. That's the proper name of the show, not a show that happens every single day.
Yeah, I know. Okay. I'm not sure, that bothers me. I love Star Wars and I don't know this. I'll learn something new.
No guess.
I want to take this one from Scott. Let's use a modifier. Let's swap this one out.
All right. So for the record, the answer is Jon Stewart, and the planet is called Stujon. Obi-Wan's homeworld is Stujon.
Amazing. Okay, cool.
Okay.
I've not heard that.
Swapping that out, here's your alternate question. Joni, this series will see Hayden Christensen returning to the Star Wars universe. I know how happy you are about that. Reprising his roles as Anakin Skywalker and Darth Vader. While a relatively obscure actor before Star Wars casting, Christensen would go on to star in a series of big-budget box office offerings afterward, including this 2008 film, loosely based on a novel of the same name, where Christensen's character possessed the ability to teleport.
Oh! Give me the multiple choice.
Two modifiers, single question, but I like that you're using them. Your multiple choice answers are Nexus, The Void, Jumper.
Jumper. It was Jumper.
Yes, it was. 2 points for Joni. He had to use a few modifiers, but he got there. That's all that matters. 7 points now. All right, Scott, over to you. Question number 2. What two-word phrase, the same one Obi-Wan greeted General Grievous with in Revenge of the Sith, did Ewan McGregor jokingly say he would like the series to have been called?
Can I get the 3-option modifier? Backpack.
All right, your 3 possible answers are once more, hello there, you again.
You again?
Joni is going crazy in her room. Give me the answer.
Hello there.
Hello there is correct. All right, Joni extending her lead 8 points to 2. And back over to you, Joni. Question number 3. Ewan McGregor is not the only Star Wars alumnus returning to the fold as Obi-Wan, and will also feature Bonnie Peace and Joel Edgerton reprising their roles as Aunt Beru and this uncle of Luke Skywalker.
Owen Lars.
Very good. 2 more points for Joni. Up now 10-2. Scott, you know what we need from you. Question number 4. Ewan McGregor is not the only member of his family to appear in a Star Wars film. His uncle, Dennis Lawson, was a key part of the original trilogy, portraying this X-Wing pilot who was forced to bail on the original trench run, but helped Lando blow up the second Death Star in Return of the Jedi.
Oh, shoot. I want a new question.
All right, we're going to swap that one out then for you. Joni, do you know the answer to this one, by the way?
I do. He played Wedge Antilles.
He did play Wedge Antilles, yeah, and warned him that he shouldn't take a role in Star Wars, because said that's all you'll ever be known for the rest of your life. Scott, your alternate question. Obi-Wan's initial nemesis, Darth Maul, was portrayed by Ray Park, who continued acquiring his geek cred when he took on the role of this famous member of the G.I. Joe team in both the 2009 film as well as the 2013 sequel.
It's not He-Man, is it? No, that's my guess. I don't know.
All right, we'll give security protection for when the nerds come out after answering a G.I. Joe question by saying, it's not He-Man, is it? Was he an original member? Was he like the second wave? Where was He-Man in the G.I. Joe? Joni, can you steal this one?
I have not the foggiest idea.
No, Combat Carl.
All right. Snake Eyes. He played Snake Eyes, member of the G.I. Joe team. Joni, we're going back to you here. Kathleen Kennedy, one of the driving forces behind Obi-Wan Kenobi, as well as all of the modern Star Wars Disney content, has worked on countless classic films, including this 1984 comedy horror film directed by Joe Dante, where she earned her first credit as an executive producer.
Okay, 1984 comedy. Can you repeat this question again?
Kathleen Kennedy, one of the driving forces behind Obi-Wan Kenobi, as well as all of the Star Wars films and Disney content, has worked on countless classic films, including this 1984 comedy horror film, directed by Joe Dante, where she earned her first credit as executive producer.
Oh, geez. I don't know, and I don't even know which to guess, because I'm not up on my cult classic horror films, unfortunately.
All right, Scott, can you seal this one?
Not the original Scream, is it? That's my guess.
It is not the original Scream. That was in the 90s. That was actually a late 90s film. We're going all the way back to Gremlins, ladies and gentlemen. Gremlins.
Oh,
first executive producer credit. Scott, back to you. What Western U.S. city, with a population of over 600,000, has a street named Kenobi that, well, spelled differently, is named in honor of our famous Jedi?
Western U.S. city, you said?
Western U.S.
Is it Tucson?
Tucson is incorrect. Joni, chance to steal.
It's a good guess, though. I would imagine that it would probably be in... You know what? I'll use my plus two. Why not? I'm going to guess Phoenix. I like your desert idea.
Phoenix is incorrect. What's your second guess?
Phoenix probably has more people, though.
A lot more.
Trying to remember what the city is that Lucasfilm and Skywalker Ranch are in, but I don't remember the name of that city either. So let's guess Albuquerque. That one's probably too big too. I don't know.
I'm sorry. Albuquerque also incorrect. Maybe it was modeled after the scene in episode 2 where Obi-Wan's in a club. He's telling people not to have death sticks.
Oh.
Las Vegas, Nevada. Oh. Kenobi.
Yeah, I just read a book about that. I should have known that.
Street Kenobi. Joni, what title that also happens to be a 1998 action thriller starring Sam Jackson and Kevin Spacey was given to Obi-Wan due to his ability to stop battles before they began. A little Jedi history.
He was known as the Negotiator?
It was the Negotiator. That's 2 points for Joni, extending her lead now into double digits, 12 points to 2. Final question of this round for you, Scott. Alec Guinness made Star Wars history in 1977 when he garnered the only acting Oscar nomination the franchise ever received. However, he lost to Jason Robard, who starred in the one-word Holocaust drama film named after one of the lead characters played by Vanessa Redgrave, who also took home an Oscar for her role. Going with cinematic history, Oscar history. What was the name of this film?
I'm going to use my guess too here.
Go ahead.
I'm going to sound really stupid for this, but Yentl isn't a Holocaust film, is it? Yentl?
It's not Yentl. You have one guess remaining. This is a tough one. I was not familiar with this film.
I'll go with... I'm thinking... And again, this is another huge miss, but I'm thinking Anne Frank, so Anne.
Now, I was hoping something in your subconscious might come up with Julia. Name of the film is Julia.
Julia.
All right. So end of round two. Joni, another commanding lead, 12 points to 2. But you guys know this can all change very quickly. It's time for the face-off. Your category, planets in the Star Wars cinematic universe. So players, aside from Obi-Wan's adopted homeworld of Tatooine, I am looking for any planet or moon that is seen on screen in any of the 11 live-action Star Wars films. It cannot be the name of a world that is only referenced and not shown, but a location that is given screen time by either being seen from space or from its surface. There are nearly 30 locations on this list to choose from. And Joni, we're starting with you.
Naboo.
Coruscant.
Everyone's answering before the music is coming on, and I'm making sound effects. Naboo, Coruscant, both correct. My gosh, calm down, you two. All right.
You can't guess Tatooine.
I said other than Tatooine, but I'll let it slide, so just please give me another answer.
Kashyyyk
is correct. Scott?
Ha.
Why did they call it Kolth? It's my favorite Family Guy Star Wars joke. So stupid, it makes me laugh every time. Yeah, hence the moon reference.
Alderaan. They were in Alderaan places.
There we go. Back to you.
Jakku.
Yep, new trilogy.
Dagobah.
Correct, that is. I can't do a Yoda voice. What am I trying to
do? Yavin 4.
Yeah, the Yavin system. Count that.
Mandalore?
I'm sorry, Scott. We're looking for feature films only. I cannot count that answer. And just like that, the face-off is over. Joni, with 17 points to Scott 6, I did make it clear feature films only. Otherwise, we'd really be here forever.
I mean, you also made a clue Tatooine couldn't be guessed, but, you know.
See, I thought what would happen is we'd all like the original trilogy, then it would come down to the planets and like Solo, a Star Wars story, you know, the ones that kind of no one remembers. But unnecessary, Joni, commanding lead, 17 points to 6, which means you know what's time for, the hardest question in the world. Okay, Joni, you're once again in the driver's seat, so it happens from here on in, it's up to you.
All right.
Joni, characters' names in the Star Wars universe have always been unique, and one of the reasons for this is because they're often an amalgamation of various non-English words combined in unexpected ways. Obi-Wan Kenobi is perhaps the best example of this, as his name was created as a tribute to the works of Akira Kurosawa, the Japanese filmmaker that George Lucas greatly admired. Both Obi and Ken take their derivation from Japanese. My question is, what do either of these words mean? So Joni, you know what options you have here. You can force Scott to answer this as you did last episode. Hope that he can't figure it out, your lead stands. You go up 2-0 for the month of May, but if you think Scott might be able to guess at this one or has an idea, maybe he's heard this somewhere, you know, he's like looking up in his books, he just read this thing, what if that happens now? What if he gets it? Your stellar lead, once again, gone. So do you want to put fate in your own hands? If you do, you get to use a single modifier.
You know what? I'm kind of tempted to use a modifier. Why not? We'll use a modifier. Let's use the, give me 3 options.
Wow, she is going for it herself, ladies and gentlemen. I like it, that is bold, and I respect that. All right, Joni, I'm gonna give you 3 words. This is a little weird because I said either one can work. So I'm just gonna give you, for the sake of argument, 3 words. One of them is either Obi or Ken. Fair enough, understand?
Sure.
Okay, so your options are wisdom, sash, light.
Wisdom, sash, See, I, one of the things that I love so much about George Lucas, just in general, is that he does lean pretty heavily into symbolism. Like very heavily into the, in pretty obvious hero's journey, the symbolism in Star Wars, just kind of in general. And the role that Obi-Wan plays in the film, especially when you look at A New Hope, is that of that wise old leader. So I am going to guess on that basis, I'm going to guess light.
You know, after that 5-minute introduction to what your answer is, I like the last minute swerve. That's how you play this game for those listening at home. That's how you do it. So Akira Kurosawa, Japanese filmmaker, as we know, Star Wars inspired by samurai movies, as well as Westerns, serial action, sci-fi, everything. George Lucas really, obviously, with this character, as you said, leaned in to the knowledgeable samurai. And one of the things that a samurai wears is their kimono that they tie with a sash. Congratulations, Scott. You have stolen this victory from Joni.
For what it's worth, I would have pulled that.
The other correct answer, by the way, sword. Ken is sword, Obi is sash. Sash that they tie their kimono with. It doesn't matter. No one cares, especially Scott. Scott, congratulations. You are a literal genius. At least when it comes to Obi-Wan Kenobi, or in this case, maybe just Joni isn't a literal genius, kind of the way this thing planned out. Either way,
but she still is Joni Wan Kenobi.
You have won this, and we are tied for the month of May, 1-1. That's how this show can go, but Joni...
The last time I take a risk, Scott.
I respect it. I know, boldness will pay off. Boldness will pay off on the show. I respect it. Well done. And that's going to do it for us this week. As always, check us out, literalgeniuspodcast.com. You can email the show, literalgeniuspodcast@gmail.com. Go to our Patreon to support us, patreon.com/literalgeniuspodcast. Never, never, never donate if it's any way of financial hardship. You can always support us for free by going to Apple Podcasts, leaving us a review or rating, and telling your friends about Literal Genius. We did Doctor Strange. We did Star Wars. What's it going to be next week? We'll find out together. See you then.